Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening for the Great Controversy Study. Let us start with a welcome in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your many blessings, your protection, and I thank you for each and every brothers and sisters that have joined us and those that will be joining us. May you hasten their footstep, Lord. Help us to receive a blessing, Lord. Help us, Father, to open our minds, Lord, to gain wisdom and understanding as we're studying and listening to the reading and the study of the Great Controversy. Bless the speaker in the mark way, Lord. We thank you ever so much, kind and loving Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Again, welcome, brothers and sisters, and I will open the line for the first prayer. So please press 1. For the first prayer, if you have the first prayer, please go ahead and press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. 931, your line is open.
Yeah, Leola Kirkland.
Yes, Ms. Kirkland. Sister Kirkland, go ahead.
Okay. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you have spared our lives to see another day. We are so thankful, dear Father, for your goodness, and for the truths that you're giving to us. And we're so thankful that we can come again to listen to these wonderful words in the Great Controversy. Please bless the speaker in a very special way, and bless those who are listening. And we thank you with forgiveness for all of our sins. For Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Kirkland, for the prayer. Amen. And I'll go ahead and open the line for Elder Richardson. Please press 1, I believe. Okay. Amen. I see your line. I'll go ahead and open the line for Elder Richardson.
Amen. Sister Carla, am I on?
Yes. We can hear you.
Amen. Amen. Sister Carla, let me know as we go on how many are on. Sorry for running a minute late. I had so much of things was on my plate today. And I want to let you know that I believe since, and I'm telling you this, my brethren, since we started, I started this Great Controversy study, the enemy is on my heel day and night. I'm telling you, I haven't experienced in many years the kind of things the enemy is hurling at me. But I thank God that Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, and the Holy Spirit of God in my life, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. For greater is he, the Spirit of God in me, than they, the demons and the devils that are in the world. And I pray by the grace of God. Sister Carla, somebody might be calling me for a number to get on Great Controversy. Give a little advertisement of something. I'll be right back.
Yes, I'll do an announcement. Okay, amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, please have your Great Controversy reading, your notepad and your pen, just to take notes, or if you want to write down any questions. So at the end, we'll open the line 10 minutes or so for those that have comments and questions. So please take down your notes, and you might want to highlight an area in your book or on your tablet that's very interested that you might have question about, or want to make comments, or also bring it out in your study when you are able to do the Great Controversy study at your church or with a group. Amen. So please have your notepad and your pen and everything ready. And just want to again welcome each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. As I go, let me know how many are on this. We want to be thankful to the Lord again for this wonderful opportunity to gather on this Monday. And I want to tell you, this is the 2 months of date that since we started the Great Controversy Study, and God is good, and his blessing towards us are great. And I want to thank all of you for by the grace of God, joining with us on this prayer line, this study, Great Controversy line. And I know that God's blessings towards us is great. Sister Carla, I have somebody texting me again, asking me for the number for the Great Controversy study. Please just advertise something again. I'll be right back.
Amen. Amen. Again, brothers and sisters, for those that do not know, that we'll be having our youth convocation in upstate New York, and that will be from Friday, the 24th to the 26th of this month. So that's this weekend. We're having our youth convocation with Brother Dwayne Lemon, Christopher Hudson, I believe his last name is Mr. Jerry. He will be teaching agriculture, Brother Yudi, and also Pastor Jones will be the speakers, and many other. And our truly, Elder Richardson, will be doing in prayer, singing, and also participate in other areas of the meeting. And by God's grace, I'll be there, Sister Powell, helping out in hospitality and elsewhere. So please come out if you can. And it's on Facebook, Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. You can get the direction, or you can get it from me or Elder Richardson. And we will be happy to see you there and meet you face to face. Amen. And please come out and receive a blessing. Tell others about it that's in New York or nearby surrounded area. And also try to encourage the youth to come out, even if it's for Sabbath, just to come out Saturday. Please try and make it out for the youth convocation. Amen. So we have quite a few on the line tonight. So, again, I just want to welcome each and every one of you. And if you forgot to invite someone, this might be the time that you can text or call, your brothers and sisters to come on and receive a blessing this evening on the Great Controversy study. And Elder Ken is coming on. Amen.
Amen. Folks, thank you all for your patience and understanding on this matter. as we are going through this great controversy study. I'm telling you this, that we had to experience a lot of strange thing going on this study, because you know why? This is exposing the enemy, and this is preparing us for the coming crisis and how we can prepare ourselves by the grace of God to meet the terrible emergency that is right before us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity to gather here. Your words have said your saints are covenanted by sacrifice. We have come here, Lord, because we sense the urgency and the need, O God, in such a time like this, that we need to understand what is about to ravel out in the coming crisis before us. This book, Great Controversy, Lord, is going to bring about an awareness that of the needs in our life and the preparation that we need as a people of God to prepare ourselves to be in line, to be in place, to prepare our lives by the grace of God to be filled with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for everyone in this prayer line tonight. As they listen, dear God, as we go through this study, as we understand, Lord, that what was past will be, and in the future that will replay, it will happen again in a greater degree. God, help us to get serious, each and every one of us, as we have never gotten serious before. God, help us to put away the hypocrisies in our lives, the lukewarm condition, the pretension of church piety. We need, Lord, to get right with you, God. We've got to get down in sackcloth and in ashes and to weep between the porch and the altar. So, Father, let your presence of your Holy Spirit now invade this study. Be with me as I read it out and as I explain as I go. And as your Spirit touches our hearts, O God, fill us with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm on the seventh chapter of the Great Controversy, page 58. And the title is Luther's Separation from Rome. Get yourself ready. Put on your seatbelt. And we are on a journey of the brethren who have experienced in the dark ages cruelty from the papacy. I continue. Foremost among those who were called to lead the church from the darkness of popery into the light of a pure of faith stood Martin Luther. Zealous, ardent, and devoted, knowing no fear but the fear of God, and acknowledging no foundation for religious faith but the Holy Scriptures, Luther was the man for his time. What was Luther? He was a man for his time. Oh, folks, let me just pause there. For you to remember the main points as we study, please have a pen and just scribble down or shorthand what points that you will want to ask question or give suggestion after the end of the study. So that's encouragement for us. Have a pen and just write the main point that as we go. I continue. Luther was the man for his time. Are we, as Seventh Adventists, God's people, a people for this time? And through him, Luther, God accomplished a great work for the reformation of the church and the enlightenment of the world in the dark ages there. Like the first heralds, okay, heralds are those who give the message, give the message with a sound, with a loud cry. Like the first heralds of the gospel, Luther sprang from the ranks of poverty. His early years were spent in the humble home of a German peasant. By daily toil as a miner, his father earned the means for his education. The father intended him for a lawyer, to be a lawyer. But God purposed to make him a builder in the great temple that was rising so slowly through the centuries. Hardship, privation, and severe discipline were a school in which infinite wisdom prepared Luther for the important mission of his life. Luther's father was a man of strong and active mind and great force of character, honest, resolute, and straightforward. He was true to his conviction of duty. That's Luther's father. Let the consequences be what they might, his sterling good sense led him to regard the monastic system with distrust. He was highly displeased when Luther, this is the father here, without his consent, entered a monastery. And it was 2 years before the father was reconciled to his son. And even then, his opinions remained the same. Luther's parents bestowed great care upon the education and training of the children. They endeavored, the parents, to instruct them in the knowledge of God and the practice of Christian virtues. I pause here. Have we seen that in each of the chapters gone, that the parents were always the ones that was instructing their children and preparing the children for the work of God? Are you seeing the same scenario playing out here with Luther and his parents? All right, I continue. The father's prayer often ascending in the hearing of his son, that the child might remember the name of the Lord and one day aid in the advancement of his truth. Every advantage for moral or intellectual culture, which their life of toil permitted them to enjoy, was eagerly improved by these parents, God-fearing parents. And do you know what the Bible says? In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child what in the way that it should go, and when they get old, they will not what depart from it. So parents, we have a role to play in training up our children. I continue. Their efforts were earnest and persevering to prepare the children for a life of piety and usefulness. With their firmness and strength of character, they sometimes exercise too great severity. But the reformer himself, Martin Luther, though conscious that in some respect they had erred, found in their discipline more to approve them than to condemn. At school, where he was sent at an early age, Luther was treated with harshness and even violence. So great was the poverty of his parents that upon going from home to school in another town, he was for a time obliged to obtain his food by singing from door to door, and he often suffered from hunger. Wow, what an experience Luther went through, folks. He had to sing to get money. So if we can sing, then let's do that. Whatever we can do for the Lord, let us do it. Amen? Amen. I continue. The gloomy, superstitious ideas of religion then prevailing filled him with fear. He would lie down at night with a sorrowful heart, looking forward with trembling to the dark future and in constant terror at the thought of God as a stern, unrelenting judge, a cruel tyrant, rather than a kind heavenly father. You see how the devil put in your mind God is in that kind of sense? But we know that we serve a loving God who is loving to us. All right? So we see the experience here, what Luther has been going through. The gloomy, okay? I'm under here, yet under so many and so great discouragement, Luther pressed resolutely forward toward a high standard of moral and intellectual excellence which attracted his soul. He thirsted for knowledge, and the earnest and practical character of his mind led him to desire the solid and useful rather than the showy and superficial. When at the age of 18, please know that, he entered the University of Erfurt, his situation was more favorable and his prospects were brighter than in his earlier years. His parents having by thrift and industry acquired a competence, they were able to render him all needed assistance. And the influence of judicious friends had somewhat lessened the gloomy effects of his former training. He applied himself to the study of the best authors, diligently treasuring their most weighty thoughts and making the wisdom of the wise his own. Even under the harsh discipline of his former instructors, he had early given promise of distinction, and with favorable influences, his mind rapidly developed. Isn't that a reminder of what the Bible said about Christ, that he grew and he found favor with God and men? He grew spiritually and in wisdom and understanding. We are seeing the same thing playing out here with Martin. A retentive memory. What kind of memory? Retentive memory. A lively imagination, strong reasoning powers, and untiring application soon place him in the foremost rank among his associates. Intellectual discipline ripened his understanding and aroused an activity of mind and a keenness of perception that were preparing him for the conflict of his life. Wow. Wow. What blessing. The fear of the Lord dwelt in the heart of Luther, enabling him to maintain his steadfastness of purpose and leading him to the deep humility before God. Shouldn't we all? He had an abiding sense of his dependence upon divine aid, and he did not fail to begin each day with prayer. Folks, I hope you are noting these things. This young man, Martin Luther, what his life, his early life and experience was, where he spent the time with God and developed character and education. Are we getting this? And while his heart, Martin's heart, was continually breathing a petition for guidance and support to pray well. To do what? To pray well. He often said, "It is the better half of study." So apart from studying, he say the better half of it is to pray, be a prayer warrior. While one day examining the books in the library of the university, Luther discovered a Latin Bible. We know in those times they had no King James Version and all these different Bibles. It was in Latin. Such a book he had never before seen. He was ignorant even of its existence. He had heard portions of the Gospels and the Epistles, which were read to the people at public worship, only, of course, by the priests. And he supposed that these were the entire Bible, so he thinks. Now, for the first time, he looked upon the whole of God's Word, Old and New Testament. Could you imagine that? And with mingled awe and wonder, he turned the sacred pages. He turned the sacred pages. Isn't that amazing? He turned the sacred pages. With quickened pulse and throbbing heart, he read for himself the words of life, pausing now and then to exclaim, "Oh, that God would give me such a book for myself." Wow. I pause there, folks. Do we sense and understand how important the Bible was for these brethren?
And yet we have the Bible in our homes. We have Bibles upon Bibles of all kinds of versions. But of course, King James Version is the original best version. And I will encourage all of us to have the King James Version. Are we studying it? Are we truly going down and studying the Bible in depth and in detail? God help us from this night, this day on to do so, folks. I continue. Angels of heaven were by his side, and rays of light from the throne of God revealed the treasures of truth to his understanding. He had ever feared to offend God. Do we have that same attitude, not to offend God? But now the deep conviction of his condition as a sinner took hold upon him as never before. An earnest desire to be free from sin and to find peace with God led him at last to enter a cloister and devote himself to a monastic life. Here he was required to perform the lowest drudgery and to beg from house to house. Could you imagine, folks? I pause. Could you imagine if Luther had the truth that we have as God's people today? Do you think he will be sitting on it? Do you think he will zip his mouth? No, he wouldn't. We as God's people have a more sure word of prophecy, Peter said, that we must take heed unto these things. We have the word of God. What are we doing, brethren and sisters, on this study guide here, as these brethren who experienced the power in their early relationship with Jesus? I continue. He was at an age when respect and appreciation are most eagerly craved. And these menial offices were deeply mortifying to his natural feelings. But he patiently endured this humiliation, believing that it was necessary because of his sins. Every moment that he could be spared from his daily duties, he employed in study. Wow! Do you hear that, folks? I want to read that for emphasis. Every moment that could be spared from his daily duties, he employed in study. Lord help us. Robbing himself of sleep and drudging even the time spent at his scanty meals. Folks, how much time really do we spend in the Word of God? Apart from morning worship or evening worship, apart from being in church and listening to the preacher, how many of us really take our Bibles to church? How many of us are studying the Word of God? How many of us are really eating the Word of God? As Jeremiah said, "Thy words did I found, and I did eat them, and they become a rejoicing." Are we spending quality time and quality time with God in his Word and in studying, folks? This was Martin's experience in studying the Word of God. I continue. Above everything else, he delighted in the study of God's word. He had found a Bible chained, and I want you to know this now. He had found a Bible chained to the convent wall, and to this he often repaired. Could you imagine the chain of the Bible? The Bible was chained. God's words are free, folks. And in those times, they couldn't even get access to the Bible. But the people could not have gotten access. And even the priests could not. They had to read the Bible from that chained, where it was chained. Oh, my Lord. That's why it was called the Dark Ages. As his convictions deepened, he sought by his own works to obtain pardon and peace. He led a most rigorous life, endeavoring by fasting, vigils, and scourgings to subdue the evils of his nature, from which the monastic life had brought no release. He was tortured doing all what he can to do to make himself right with God. He shrank, I continue, he shrank from no sacrifice by which he might attain to that purity of heart, which would enable him to stand approved before God. He said, "It was indeed a pious monk. I was indeed a pious monk," he afterward said, "and followed the rules of my order more strictly than I can express. If ever monk could obtain heaven by his monkish works, I should certainly have been entitled to it. If it had continued much longer, I should have carried my mortification even to death." So even with all that rites and rituals that he was going through, he said if anyone was to earn salvation or heaven, it was him. But not knowing it's for by grace are you saved through faith. And we'll come with that reading. I continue. As a result of this painful discipline, he lost strength and suffered from fainting spasm, from the effect of which he never fully recovered. But when all his efforts had burdened soul found no relief, he was at last driven to the verge of despair. Oh my. This reminds me of Sister White's early experience in her early life when she was tortured and driven in every aspect of discouragement. But yet, God saw, had seen her through, and had even here, we see Martin Luther through all these things in going through despair and discouragement. When it appeared to Luther, I continue, that all was lost, God raised up a friend and helper for him. The pious Stoppitz opened the word of God to Luther's mind and bade him look away from himself. Look away from where? From himself. Seize the contemplation of infinite punishment for the violation of God's law, and look to Jesus, his sin-pardoning Savior. All right, so he had a friend who was encouraging him, as the case might be, in which we all need a friend to encourage us. Instead of torturing, he said, quote-unquote, instead of torturing yourself on account of your sins, throw yourself into the Redeemer's arms. Trust in him, in the righteousness of his life, in the atonement of his death. Listen to the Son of God. He became man to give you the assurance of divine favor. Love him who first loved you. What encouraging words, folks. And for me, I need you, brethren, to call me during the week and encourage me to pray with me and to say, brother, let's go out and let's do some work for the Lord. We need that encouragement from each other. Amen? I continue. Thus spoke this messenger of mercy. His words made a deep impression upon Luther's mind. After many a struggle with long-cherished errors, he was enabled to grasp the truth, and peace came to his troubled soul. Luther was ordained a priest and was called from the cloister to a professorship in the University of Wittenberg. Here he applied himself to the study of the scriptures in the original tongue. He began to lecture upon the Bible and the book of Psalms. The Gospels and the Epistles were open to the understanding of the crowds of delighted listeners. Stoppitz, his friend and superior, urged him to ascend the pulpit and preach the word of God. Luther hesitated, feeling himself unworthy to speak to the people in Christ's tent. That man was humble, folks. It was only after a long struggle that he yielded or given to the solicitation of his friends. Already he was mighty in the scriptures and the grace of God rested upon him. Folks, I pause. Are we ready to give an answer to every man that asks the hope that is in us? Are we ready to stand for Jesus when the trials come? Are we equipped? Is our mind fortified with the word of truth? Are we studying scriptures? Are we memorizing scriptures? It's only those who fortify their minds by the word of truth will be able to stand in the last days. I continue. His eloquence captivated his hearers. The clearness and power with which he presented the truth convinced their understanding, and his fervor touched their hearts. Luther was still a true son of the papal church, mind you. He was still being in the papal church and had no thought that he would ever be anything else. In the providence of God, he was led to visit Rome. Folks, you know something that's dawned on my mind? You know, we may think that these people that are in these churches, these Sunday churches, all right, that we as Seventh Adventists are more superior than them. Folks, that was the problem of ancient Israel. They feel that they was God's chosen, appointed people, and they lived to themselves and they kept to themselves the truth that they had needed to share to the world. And this is why Jesus said, you know, and I want to remind us of this. Other sheep I have, but not of this fold. The time will come that they will come out and join the remnant, those who are keeping the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. May we then be prepared by God's grace to give the message to those that are in darkness. I continue. He pursued his journey on foot, lodging at the monasteries on the way. At a convent in Italy, he was filled with wonder at the wealth, magnificence, and luxury that he had witnessed. Folks, I don't know, but it seems that this thing has dawned to me, to some extent, that we are so laid back as God's people, that we are so comfort, we are in a comfort zone, that we do not want to go out and walk the streets. You know, if we don't have a car, we can't go here, we can't go there. But here, this is saying that Luther walked. He had a two-wheel vehicle, which was his feet. And how we have our cars, maybe two or three, and we are failing of not running and taking this gospel, this stranger's message, to far and near to those who are in need of the word of God. Folks, I hope we are getting this. I don't want to rush down this. I want us to get it piece at a time. I want us to understand and to have a clarity of mind and understanding and appreciation what his brethren and them have been through. And nothing is too hard for them to sacrifice. This is the meat of our study in this book, Luther's Separation from Rome. And we need to understand, folks, that we need to get up and shake up ourselves and get out there and begin the work. Less, you know, I remember a saying of a pastor. He said, use it or lose it. If we don't use our God-given talents and gift and ability, guess what? We'll lose it. You know, if we have that one talent or that one pound and we don't use it, what will happen? If we don't invest in it, what will happen? It will be taken away from us and given to those who have 5 and 10. Are we getting it, folks? Are we understanding? I continue. Endowed with a princely revenue, the monks dwelt in splendid apartments. Oh, my Lord. Attired themselves in the richest and most costly robes and feasted at the sumptuous. Wait a minute. Sumptuous table. Folks, let me tell you this. I read this today. in Luke chapter 20, when Jesus spoke about the scribes and Pharisees who love to sit in the chief places and like to be called rabbi and they deck with this and like to go in widows' homes and all this. I actually read this today in the Bible. And here we are seeing the same aspect of these monks in which they like to be, you know. And are we not seeing it amongst us as God's people? You know? Folks, are we getting it? I hope we are understanding and not passing by and over what we are understanding here. I read again that part for emphasis. Endowed with a princely revenue, a lot of money, the monks dwelt in splendid apartments, attired themselves in the richest and most costly robes, and feasted at a sumptuous table. Are we spending our money for that which is not bread? Are we decking this body, the temple of God, and spending money so much on ourselves and failing to spend our money on things that pertain? Jesus said, lay to yourself treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Folks, that's what we need to do, and not to be like what we are reading here, folks. I continue. With painful misgivings, Luther contrasted this scene with the self-denial and hardship of his own life. His mind was becoming perplexed. At last, he beheld in the distance the seven-hilled city, Vatican. That's the seven-hilled city there, the seven mountains that we read in Revelation concerning the seven. That is what we're around here, Luther is talking about. With deep emotion, he prostrated himself upon the earth, exclaiming, Holy Rome, I salute thee. Oh, the brother did not know much as he was understanding, as he was going, that truth would have come to him. He entered the city, visited the churches, listened to the marvelous tales or the stories repeated by priests and monks, and performed all the ceremonies required. Everywhere he looked upon the scenes that filled him with astonishment and horror. He saw that iniquity existed among all classes of the clergy. Folks, leadership was not setting the right example. Look at Christ's humble life. Look at Christ's humble life. I continue. He heard indecent jokes from prelates. He was filled with horror at their awful profanity, even during Mass. You know, folks, I want to run through this fast, you know, but I can't. You know, by our words we shall be justified, and by our words we shall be condemned. And I'm saying here that the Bible and what we are reading here, that we ought not to be jokers. We ought not to be making jokes, folks. Jokes are bearing false witness. These profanity things amongst leaders, folks, let us not fall in this way, as they found themselves, those priests and all them, or even our leaders in our churches. I continue. As he mingled with the monks, this is Luther, as he mingled with the monks and citizens, he met dissipation, debauchery. Turn where he would, in the place of sanctity, he found profanation. Folks, you know, what could we recall concerning Jesus when he went into the temple? And he saw what they were doing, selling dove and trading in the temple and doing buying and all these things. What he did? He took a whip and he said, You have made my father's house a what? A den of thieves. My house is a house of prayer for all people. And when he went in there, he saw all this thing going on there in the city of Rome. He said, no one, I quote, no one can imagine, he wrote, what sins and infamous actions are committed in Rome. They must be seen and heard to be believed. Thus they are in the habit of saying, if there is a hell, Rome is built over it. It is an abyss whence issues every kind of sin. Oh, wow, that is powerful, folks. That is powerful. That is powerful, folks. We need to, listen. You see this book, Great Controversy? I had to pause and stop and let us know, folks. This is serious reading here, you know. If we have not read in this and our lives are not changed, something is radically wrong, folks. Something is radically wrong if we are not making application to what we are going through this here step by step. I continue. By a recent decretal, an indulgence has been promised by the Pope, listen now, to all who should ascend upon their knees. And that's the steps going up on their knees. Pilate, which was Pilate's staircase, of course, said to have been descended by our Savior on leaving the Roman judgment hall and to have been miraculously conveyed from Jerusalem to Rome. What wickedness these people have applied concerning those steps, that these people were going up on their bare knee. Oh, my Lord, I could imagine how much of pain, knee pain, that these people were experiencing when they were done finishing that procession. I continue. Luther was one day, and here it comes, folks. Luther was one day devoutly climbing these steps when suddenly a voice like thunder seemed to say to him, the just shall live by faith. Of course, Romans 1:17, you'll read that right there. And the angel spoke those words. And when he said, the just shall live by faith, he sprung up to his feet and hastened from the place in shame and horror when he heard that voice. Praise the Lord. That text never lost its power upon his soul. From that time, he saw more clearly than ever before the fallacy of trusting to human works for salvation and the necessity of constant faith in the merits of Christ. His eyes had been opened. What has been opened? His eyes, his spiritual understanding and discernment, and were never again to be closed, no, folks, to the delusion of the papacy. When he turned his face from Rome, he had turned away also his heart in heart. And from that time, the separation grew wider until he severed all connection with the papal church. Folks, I want to pause here again. When we read Revelation 3:14, all right, 14 through 17, the council of the church to the Laodicean, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, white raiment that you may be clothed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Folks, we must come to that experience of buying from the Lord the faith and the love in our heart and receiving in our minds spiritual understanding and discernment and receiving the righteousness of Christ, which is his perfect character in our souls, in our lives, demonstrated each and every day. We must come to that same experience as did Martin Luther, who, when that text came to him, that voice, the just shall live by faith, folks, he was not the same anymore. That began in him the protest against Rome and the papacy. And if we accept, and I'm going to say something that is going to crack some nuts here. Folks, if we are Seventh-day Adventists, does not see ourselves in our lukewarm condition and think that we are rich and in need of nothing and feel that we are all right, when in truth and in reality, we are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And unless we see ourselves in our true colors as we are, we will be like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Folks, I don't want to preach here. Yes, I know I'm a preacher, but I'm teaching here as I go through the reading. But as the Lord, the Spirit touches my heart, even my heart to see where I need, I'm in urgent need of the Holy Spirit of God in my life to see myself in preparation for the crisis of the time of trouble. And this is what was the experience of Martin Luther and all the Protestants that have been faithful to God and was able to stand for Jesus, to burn at the stake, and to sing, and to praise God, and to stand for Jesus. Folks, if we are not ready, if we are not ready in life, in our relationship with Christ, each and every day, folks, I am saying that we will be shaken out and be lost. This is why it is hammering straight at our hearts to realize and understand that what is good for the goose is good for the gander. And folks, we are in need of urgent revival and awakening of primitive godliness. Of godliness. Luther's eyes has been opened. I read again. Follow me there again. And were never again to be closed to the delusion of the papacy. When he turned his face from the Rome, he had turned away also his heart. And from that time, the separation grew wider until he severed all connection with the papal church. And folks, I am saying again that as Seventh-day Adventists, we've got to come up to every point in relationship with Jesus Christ in our lives, both by precept and by example, by our clothes, by our diet, by our influence, by our conversation, by our daily deportment of our lives, each and every day. If we are not reflecting Jesus Christ in our life, in our on our job, wherever we are in the grocery or wherever we are on the street, brethren, we will be held accountable. I'm hammering this home because, folks, I don't want your blood to be on my shoulder. No way. I don't want your blood to be on my shoulder. And this is why the Spirit of God is speaking to us through these studies. I continue. After his return from Rome, Luther received at the University of Wittenberg the degree of Doctor of Divinity. Now he was at liberty to devote himself as never before to the scriptures that he loved. He had taken a solemn vow to study carefully and to preach with fidelity the word of God, not the sayings and doctrines of the popes, all the days of his life. He was no longer the mere monk of professor, but the authorized herald of the Bible. He had been called as a shepherd to feed the flock of God that were hungering and thirsting for the truth. Folks, I pause there. Do we understand what this is saying? Do we understand what Ezekiel 34 is saying about the shepherds who are not feeding the flock of God, but feeding themselves, and the poor sheep and them are starved? Are we starved as Seventh-day Adventists from a full understanding of what is truth? What we need to do to prepare ourselves in our lives, in our relationship? Are we getting it in our churches that we are going? Are we truly receiving victory in our lives? Are we truly understanding what God calling us as a people in such a time like this? Lord, help us all. Lord, help us all. I continue. He had taken a solemn vow to study carefully and to preach with fidelity the word of God, not the saying and doctrines of the post all the days of his life. Right. A little more down. He firmly declared that Christians should receive no other doctrines than those which rest on the authority of the sacred scriptures. These words struck at the very foundation of papal supremacy. They contained the vital principle of the Reformation. Luther saw the danger of exalting human theories above the Word of God. He fearlessly attacked the speculative infidelity of the schoolmen and opposed the philosophy and theology which had so long held a controlling influence upon the people. He denounced such studies as not only worthless, but pernicious, and sought to turn the minds of his hearers from sophistries or philosophers and theologians to the eternal truth set forth by prophets and apostles. Precious was the message which he bore to the eager crowds that hung upon his words. Never before had such teachings fallen upon their ears. The glad tidings of a Savior's love, the assurance of pardon and peace through his atoning blood, rejoiced their hearts and inspired within them an immortal hope. At Wittenberg, a light was kindled whose rays should extend to the uttermost parts of the earth, and which was to increase in the brightness to the close of time. But light and darkness cannot harmonize. What cannot harmonize? Light and darkness. Between truth and error, there is an irrepressible conflict. To uphold and to defend the one is to attack and overthrow the other. Folks, you know what this reminds me of? Of a quotation that God is looking for men and women who will not be bought or sold. Men and women who will be true as a needle to the pole. Men who will call sin by its right name, though the heavens fall. Folks, we cannot compromise. We cannot compromise. We cannot uphold evil and whatever is going on. If we see it, we got to call it out. The upholder is worse than the thief. And I'm saying if we are seeing things that are going on in our churches, amongst our leaders, we got to call it out both by precept and by scriptures and by testimonies of the spirit of prophecy. We cannot uphold error. These brethren did not uphold error, folks. You cannot mingle light with darkness. This is why we need to know the truth for ourselves. Let not the blind lead the blind. You know why? Both will fall in the ditch. That's why each and every one of us have to give an account to God individually. Let every man work out his own salvation with what? Fear and with trembling. And this is why, when we see things going on around us, in our churches, in our homes, in whatever, we got to call it out. We got to say, the scripture says, the spirit of prophecy says, it is better to obey God rather than men. Let us not, folks, let us not, by the grace of God, fail of not doing this. It cannot harmonize. Light and darkness, it cannot. Jesus himself says that. What has light to do with darkness? Our Savior himself declared, I came not to send peace, but a sword. Matthew 10:34, said Luther a few years after the opening of the Reformation. He said, God does not guide me. He pushes me forward. He carries me away. I am not master of myself. Praise God. I desire to live in repose, but I am thrown into the midst of tumults and revolutions. That was the quote of Luther, folks. Can this not be the same motivation and the same aspirations as was this brother, as I about to end, he was now about to be urged into the contest. The Roman church had made merchandise of the grace of God. Are you hearing that? Are you hearing that, folks? The tables of the money changers, Matthew 21:12, I said that earlier, was set up beside her altars, and the air resounded with the shouts of buyers and sellers. Folks, we got to stop, and I got to say this, we got to stop discussing and talking about things on the Sabbath day on that pulpit. In the on the Sabbath hours, we got to put away all business transactions. We got to watch it, folks, when coming to God's sanctuary. Let us not pollute it. Under the plea of raising funds for the erection of St. Peter's Church at Rome, indulgences for sin were publicly offered for sale by the authority of the Pope. What wickedness. By the price of crime, a temple was to be built up for God's worship. Crime, you know. The cornerstone laid with the wages of iniquity, but the very means adopted for Rome's aggrandizement provoked the deadliest blow to her power and greatness. It was that this aroused the most determined and successful of the enemies of popery and led to the battle which shook the papal throne and jostled the triple crown upon the pontiff's head, the three crown that the popes wear on his mitre on his head. Folks, I'm going to end about here. And I want to tell you this, seriously, that we got to stand for right again. We are called to be reformers, eh? We are the last protesting church. All the other Sunday church, they are no more protesting with them. Since last year, no more protests when coming to. So we are not to call these Sunday churches Protestants anymore. They have all given in to the papacy. They are under the dogmas. They are under the hierarchy of the Rome, of the papacy. As our leaders are not standing for what we believe that the pioneers have handed down to us. All right? And then we ought to not only swallow every time we hear preaching and from the pulpit and think that is enough to secure our soul salvation. Folks, I want to tell you that this study of this great controversy is to prepare us in our own life for heaven and to prepare us to shun hell's fire that is prepared for the devil and his angel. So I will stop here because of time, and I will continue. We'll continue next week, God's willing, which is going to get very interesting as we continue. As I said, I don't want to rush the study of the great controversy because there's a lot of food inside here for us. If you're eating food and you rush too much, guess what happens? You can choke. Or if you eat too fast or too quick, you can affect your digestive system. All right? So we want to take it piece at a time. We want to chew it up, and we want to understand what God is saying to us. And I want to pray for each and every one of us here tonight that our hearts will be stirred and be blessed. Before Sister Carla asks for questions and suggestions, please make it concerning the study, and please keep it short, as the case may be. I just want to pray, do a short prayer for what we have studied here, because I know the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, have touched our hearts tonight. And I know we are making a recommitment and rededication to God. I'm telling you, this study is about revival and awakening, folks. It's not just reading and studying. No, it is about getting closer to God. Time is no longer. What we must do it quickly. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, I want to thank you, Father, for give me words of utterance as we are going through the book, Great Controversy. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your blessings, for your Holy Spirit speaking, Lord, to me. Lord, it is not my words that I speak apart from the studying of the book, dear God, but is your Spirit emphasizing more deeper, in a deeper sense, oh God, and realization that we need to wake up and shake up our lives and ourselves and our family and our homes and our churches and to get ready for the coming of the imminence of Christ. Oh God, I pray for your people here. And I have the burden for each and every one here on this study of Great Controversy study. Oh Lord, I'm praying because I'm anticipating, Lord, that there is going to be a great movement, a great revival and reformation amongst us as we go through the study. Oh God, bless us, I pray. Help us, Father. Seal us, oh God, and lead us, oh God, in these studies. We praise, we honor, and we glorify your name. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Carla, you can take a few questions. Amen.
Thank you, Elder Richardson. And brothers and sisters, if you have questions or comment regarding the reading, please press 1. This is only questions or comment regarding the reading that you just hear from the Great Controversy that was just read by Elder Richardson. Please press 1 so that I can open your line for your comments. Amen. Again, if you have any questions or comments on the reading, press 1 on your telephone keypad, which will indicate to me that you would like to make a comment, and I will go ahead and open your line. As of now, the lines are mute until I open your line when you press the number 1 on the telephone keypad. I'll go to the first caller that pressed 1. It's 646-400. Your line is now open.
Yes, this is Brother Eugene. I want to say I really appreciate the reading. The heart of the life of Martin Luther, the foundation that we just read, it started from the early years of his parents that raised him as an individual to stand for truth, to seek the Lord, and to secure his relationship with Jesus. As we were reading that passage, it reminds me of Daniel and his friends. Mm-hmm. They would have never been in that position, according to child guidance as well as patriarchs and prophets, if it wasn't for the upbringing and the counsel and the home life that they had, that the parents prepared them. And mm-hmm. I do believe that as adults, we have an influence that we can leave with children. And those who have children, we need to be very mindful and be very careful of what we introduce them to. It goes back to compromise, you know, because we see other parents are giving their children freedom, et cetera, we shouldn't do the same. And Martin Luther, in the day of judgment, is going to see the reason why he was able to be the man he was. And the Lord is going to point him. It was because of his parents. So that was very significant to me.
Amen. Thank you, Eugene. We'll go ahead and open the line for the next caller, 337-433. Your line is now open.
Press 1 if you on your.
Check if your line is on mute. 337-433. Your line is now open.
This is Sister Bennett. I was enjoying the fact of that reading that said about we're being caught up in the things of this world, where the papacy sit on high seats and they want to be seen and. You know, that struck me because we're going through a stage now whereas you can call the pastors for answers and questions and there's trouble now. And it's kind of confusing to me if we all supposed to be Seventh-day Adventists, why we all got different opinions of the word. And it's kind of scary because even the pastors and conferences are saying, don't worry about it. Everybody doing what they think is right. And it's very confusing to me, but I'll comment to the thing that it's saying in the lesson how we're getting more and more of the world compromising and falling to the things of this world.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Come on.
Okay, I'll go ahead and open the next line for 401-206. Your line is now open.
See, if your phone is on mute, just...
Yes.
Okay, I had it on mute. This is Brother Chuck from Rhode Island. I was impressed that when Martin Luther first had a chance to gaze upon and hold a whole Bible in his hands, referring to it as the sacred scriptures. And I have that same feeling in regard towards the word, precious word of God that we have that's been preserved over these many years. And even other books like our Great Controversy that we're reading, when I first got that copy of that first copy I got and read it, I had already been a student of history. And as it started to lay these things down before me, I was just in awe. I could not stop. I was going to Student University of Rhode Island. I was on Christmas vacation, and I read that book. I would get up in the morning, have breakfast. 8 o'clock, I'd read all morning long. My mother and father would have lunch and eat with them. I'd read all afternoon and have supper and read all evening till like late, 1 or 2 o'clock. I couldn't put it down. I said, this is amazing. All this was brought together before my eyes. It was so impressive. I read it in 3 days, and I was not a fast reader in those days. But the precious word of God is just so much above that book, yet the book so impressed me. And such a privilege that we have to handle the sacred scriptures and to share it with others. We need to protect our time so that we can study it and share it with others. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Chuck. Would I come in? Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go to the next caller, 203-526. Your line is now open.
Once again, my brothers and sisters, good evening, good morning, good night, wherever you are. This is Brother Mozart. I was just enraptured while we were reading this chapter. We know the scripture prophecy said that before we meet the time that is coming to us, we will have read this book. And it's only prophecy that's being fulfilled as we see this.
Amen.
And I want to bring all of your minds to what is happening in your life as we do this. It is not by chance. It is not by happenstance that we are going through what we're going through as we read this book, because this is something that we will revisit. And I want to pinpoint this portion of the book that we read when Martin Luther saw the Bible chained in the Vatican. And fortunately, we are seeing this throughout our denominations and throughout the churches today, that the Bible is under chains. And this is why the sister that spoke before said that, why are we having different opinions? It is because the Bible has been changed. And then the God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has raised up a people to go and break the feathers around this Bible. My brothers and sisters, are you one of these people? Am I one of these people? Because the glory, in Habakkuk 2 verse 14, it says that, and the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as water covers the sea. Are we ready for what is about to take place? Have mercy. Thank you all for this line. Thank you, Brother Richardson, for availing yourself in the hands of God to do this reading.
Yes,
and we look forward to the next part of this. And thank you again.
Amen.
all of you, Sister Carla, of course, always. Have a good night to all.
Amen, amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. Is there any more comments? I believe that was it. Elder Richardson, I just wanted to bring out the point. I mean, all of it I love, but right here it says, Luther, he thirsted for knowledge, and the earnest and practical character of his mind led him to desire the solid and useful rather than the showy and superficial. And that's what we should be doing, because he also had the fear of the Lord in his heart, and he had an abiding sense of his dependence upon divine aid. And we know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I am encouraged, you know, brothers and sisters, and I pray that you are encouraged too, to seek the Lord and to fear the Lord, a reverence fear unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I will go ahead and open the line for Sister Boyd. Go ahead, Elder.
No, I was going to say Sister Boyd is going to, lead us in closing. So, brethren, Sister Boyd will prepare herself to close us in prayer. I want to thank everyone. We had 19 and plus folks on our study line, and we ask each and every one, please invite others to become part of this great controversy study. Don't be fed alone with all these sublime truths, but invite others to join with us and to share with us on this Monday night study. Make it your responsibility and your privilege to invite as many brethren and sisters on this study line. Thank you.
Amen. Sister Boyd, your line is now open.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Okay, let us pray. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Help me to see you. Help us, Lord, to see you. Lord, please send your Holy Spirit tonight in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to realize that being in a relationship with Rome is not going to get us to heaven. Help us to sever all connection, Lord, from Roman customs and practices, like Luther did. Help us, Lord, to hunger and thirst for truth. Thy word is truth, dear Lord. Lord, most of all, I pray that we will see you when you come in glory.
Amen.
By grace and grace only are we saved, Lord. Give us your righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus of Christ, who died on Calvary's crooked cross for our sins. Lord, we desire to have hearts like yours. Cleanse our hearts, purge our hearts, and give us a desire for your word. Thank you, Lord, for all those that have been on this line. We ask that you have blessed your homes. Bless our homes, provide for us food, clothes, shelter. But most of all, help us to have a deep, abiding relationship with you. We thank you and we praise you, and we ask that you continue to be with Elder Richardson as you present these readings. Cover him with your Holy Spirit and protect him from harms and danger, and beat away all demonic forces. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you. And I ask that you might help us to have a good night. Save us in your kingdom when you come. Through Jesus' holy and precious name I pray, for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, brothers and sisters, thank you and have a good night. Hope to hear you back on the Great Controversy Study next Monday night, and invite a friend. Thank you. God bless.